We have a clearer picture now on which businesses got the emergency coronavirus money. I'm David Brancaccio. Now, here's a question. Who got loans under the Paycheck Protection Program? This is money, grants, if the paperwork is done right, to keep businesses afloat and employees on payrolls until the effects of pandemic ease. Under pressure from Congress, federal officials have agreed to eventually release that info, but there's new research that suggests those who got the most aid may have needed it the least. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here. Who figured this out?
Well, it comes from economist Lawrence Schmidt of MIT's Sloan Business School. Schmidt looked at a number of different data sets that are already available, and what he extrapolated is that those most affected by job losses right now, lower-income workers, got the least amount of money from the PPP because loan amounts were based on how much firms paid their employees.
And so what this ends up meaning is that if you're a firm that pays higher salaries, you're going to be eligible for more aid. But this has the perhaps unintended consequence of sending more aid to the types of firms where perhaps people are least exposed to the pandemic.
For example, Schmidt found the biggest loans went to the professional and technical services sector. Lots of remote workers, fewer jobs lost.
Now, Congress is now considering what other pandemic aid package might look like, a new one. In light of these findings, what does Dr. Schmidt suggest?
Well, what he's saying is that the initial rounds of aid were pretty uniform, and that made sense because Congress needed to act quickly. But now Schmidt suggests a different approach.
When some people are really being hit hard and others are going to be more or less okay, able to keep their jobs, it might be a little bit more advantageous to put into place a more targeted approach, because then you could send larger checks or send checks for longer periods of time to these types of sectors that are severely disrupted.
And so one example he gave here is childcare. Lower income employees, women, are more likely not to be able to work if kids are out of school. So childcare is one way Congress can target aid in the next round.
Nova, thank you. Spikes in coronavirus infections are said to be driving a cautious mood among stock investors today. So are reports the U.S. may tighten the screws on trade with Europe. Many a Wednesday, we consult Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Hi.
Good morning.
Bloomberg was reporting that there's the possibility of the U.S. levying more than $3 billion in new tariffs on EU and British imports.
That's right. And that's where I think we're seeing a shift in trade. Before, it was all about China and fixing our trade deal with China, getting that settled. And now we're adding on a new element to that. We're crossing over both East and West, and we're now focusing on trade with Europe. So there's a suggestion that $3.1 billion of exports from Germany, France, Spain, and the UK, our allies, are now up for discussion for being subject to new tariffs.
Interesting time, right? We're in this deep recession, but we're still fighting these trade battles.
It is, but in some ways, it is a return to normalcy, because remember that those are ongoing discussions that should always be happening in a healthy economy. So, in fact, we're essentially returning to where we used to be.
All right. At least a sign of that. Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You just heard about maybe targeting more federal aid to businesses toward perhaps childcare. About 350,000 childcare workers are currently out of a job with the pandemic shutdown. There was a House hearing about this yesterday. Marketplace's Erica Barris has that.
Over the last few months, Linica Butler in Eureka, California, has been juggling working from home and taking care of her four-year-old son.
And we're exhausted from it. I mean, we want him back in daycare so bad. Just to give us all a sanity break and get him back with kids. But, you know, it seems crazy.
Crazy because a daycare center is kind of a super spreader event waiting to happen.
So we just have to, like, stretch it out as long as we can. I mean, that's what I think. I don't know of any better thing to do.
But even while she's keeping her son away from the daycare center, she's worried it could close.
Then we'd have this whole new conundrum because I don't know where we would go for daycare.
Lots of daycare facilities might end up closing, says Myra Jones-Taylor, chief policy officer at Zero to Three, a nonprofit childcare advocacy group.
We worry that most of these programs will not be able to reopen once the economy opens. We are talking about an industry that is already operating at razor-thin margins.
And now, daycare centers may have to follow new safety guidelines, more staff per kid, social distancing, staggered hours. Gina Adams is a fellow at the Urban Institute.
There's the cleaning supplies, there's the actual personal protective equipment, there's the time taken to sterilize the building every night or sterilize the equipment or clean up in between things in that extra way. All of those things, when you talk about time and equipment, all of those equal money.
Disruption in childcare will disproportionately affect women, who make up 90% of childcare workers and who bear most of the burden of child rearing. Beth Humbert, professor at the Center for Women in Work at UMass Lowell, says without childcare, women will lose the professional gains they've made. And rather than leave the workforce, women may resort to other options.
A lot of these smaller in-home care daycares may just start accepting children unregulated. And so that's going to start a whole other child care crisis.
She says the economy simply can't reopen without investment in child care. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And there's news of the first formal case of facial recognition software leading to the arrest of the wrong person. Civil liberties groups have filed a complaint with Detroit police after a man spent more than a day in jail after software matched his driver's license photo with video of a shoplifter. The complaint said police eventually let the man go, saying the, quote, computer had made a mistake. Detroit uses a system from Rank One Computing. Recently, IBM, Microsoft, and Amazon said they'll stop selling their facial recognition. Pending new federal rules, among other things, recognition software has higher error rates for black people, and the wrongly arrested man in Detroit is black. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.